You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
National said yesterday it will scrap nationwide lockdowns if 70 to 75% of the eligible population is vaccinated and open up international travel again once vaccination rates hit 85 to 90% and implement a traffic light system for overseas travellers. The party also called for a new vigorous suppression strategy instead of pursuing elimination. And to talk about this now is the National Party's COVID-19 response spokesperson, Chris Bishop. Kia ora, Chris, and thanks for joining us today. Well, the Prime Minister implemented proposed something similar for overseas travellers to back in August. And what's the difference between your traffic light system and the Prime Minister's?
I suppose there's two differences. The first is that we've actually committed to it. The Prime Minister announced it, and then literally 2 weeks later, the Minister, Chris Hipkins, COVID-19 Minister Chris Hipkins, said the government was rethinking it completely. And so there's real lack of clarity around whether or not it is actually still government policy. The second major difference is we put a milestone around it. The government just says, well, we want to get as high as possible, then at some point we might reopen. We've said 85 is the right level. Obviously, we want to go as high as possible, but at 85, you've got one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. And then I suppose the third major difference is we've actually, again, put some specificity around what that might mean. So talking about low-risk countries or jurisdictions like Queensland, for example, or the Cooks, where there's either very low levels of COVID or no COVID at all, we think double vaccinated travellers in those jurisdictions should be able to come to New Zealand, but also New Zealanders can obviously also go to those jurisdictions and then return as well without going into MIQ. And, you know, the government hasn't said anything like that. So I think there's some quite major differences.
But those vaccinated overseas could still carry COVID into the community. Is there a risk for your plan to create an outbreak similar to this one?
Yeah, they can, of course, still travel, carry COVID with them. And that's why there's protections on either side of the border to minimise the number of people who bring COVID in. So before you leave Queensland, for example, take that as an example, you'd have to take a pre-departure test. And then when you arrive in the airport in New Zealand, under our plan, you'd have to take two tests, actually, when you land, both a rapid test and a saliva test as well. Now, will that mean that COVID doesn't come into New Zealand? No, it won't. Every expert is pretty much united on the fact that the moment you begin to reopen the borders, because of the way Delta works, it will arrive. That's what all the expert advice says. And that's why we've said, let's be honest and upfront about the fact that that will happen and move to a vigorous suppression strategy. So we have to acknowledge that once you begin to reopen borders, even at a very high level of vaccination, even from safe countries, COVID is highly likely to come back into New Zealand. And then, of course, it's what you do with it when it arrives. And so you put the protections in place either side of the border to protect us and minimise the number of cases. And then when it does turn up here, you test and you trace and you isolate. Very similar to what we do now to minimise the absolute number of cases. But we've been totally upfront about the fact that COVID will arrive over the border. But let's remember, it's here right now. There's Delta in the community, 1,300 cases in Auckland, 45 yesterday. There'll be more today in about 25 minutes or so. So let's not kind of, you know, put our hands over our ears and just say, la, 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 you know, we can't have COVID. It's here right now.
Well, the official modelling by Sean Hendy says even at 70% vaccination rates, New Zealand could see more than a million cases and 12,000 deaths. Well, I know the modelling could vary from person to person, but is the health system well-suited enough to execute your plan?
We think the health system would be well-suited if the government did a bunch of things that we suggested as part of our plan. So pillar one of our plan includes significant uptake or resourcing in things like saliva testing for surge capacity, making rapid antigen testing, which are the 15-minute result, COVID result tests, making them ubiquitous in the community, using them for essential workers and for people in high-risk jobs, for example. So there's a lot of different things as part of our plan that are really important that the government should be doing as well. And, you know, I think it's one of these situations where National puts forward these ideas, the government kind of poo-poos them, and then, you know, a few months later, they adopt them. That happened with pre-departure testing. We were told that that was a breach of human rights and that it couldn't happen. And then a few months later, this was last year, A few months later, the government ends up doing them. So I suspect the government will get there. We're just being pretty upfront about that. In relation to the modelling, the models are all over the show. We've identified three particular models around border reopening in our plan. We're pretty upfront about that, again, very transparent around that. There's a model done by ESR and Professor Van Nguyen. There's a model done by Professor Hendy, which got a bit of attention last week, and there's a model done by the Doherty Institute in Australia. They all say different things, but the take-home point is that the higher vaccination rate you have, the better, and that you need not just vaccination, but things like testing and tracing as well. The Hendy model has been widely critiqued by a lot of experts, and it doesn't, of course, take account of all of the quite strict public health measures that we're proposing as well, and so we don't anticipate those numbers turning up under National's plan.
Well, we spoke to the Health Minister a bit earlier today, and he said your plan is too risky. What do you say about this?
Well, I don't think our plan is risky if you actually take into account all of the 10 steps that we're putting in place to mitigate all of those risks. So rapid antigen testing, saliva testing, having a purpose-built quarantine system, making use of next-generation COVID treatments like Ronapreve and Sotrovimab, which the government hasn't bought any of or even investigated really bringing into New Zealand that other countries are doing. So I don't think it's a risky plan. But, you know, the other point I'd say is that, you know, you can de-risk New Zealand from the world if you'd like. We can close the borders as we've done at the moment. We can even make them even harder, make it even harder to get into New Zealand. We can completely close off our borders. That's not a sustainable economic or political strategy. You've already seen the outcry around the MIQ, human misery lottery, 30,000 people every week or so trying to get 3,000 spots to come back to New Zealand. So nothing in life is risk-free. It's all about the way you balance those risks and manage them. And we've put forward, I think, what's a pretty comprehensive and well thought through strategy to balance the risk of opening the border, but also allowing New Zealanders to travel. And let's remember, it's ostensibly government policy as well. They're also in favour of reopening as well. It's just that we've put a bit more detail and flesh on the bones of the plan.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.